Galatians chapter 6, verse number 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Praise God. I want to talk to you for a few minutes. He that soweth to the Spirit. He that soweth to the Spirit. May the Lord bless you. You may be seated. There are two dimensions of our lives, and we are connected to. Obviously, the fleshly dimension, but then there is also the spiritual dimension. Several times in the New Testament, the writers refer to the natural man. I looked that word up. Natural means, the natural man means to be the animal man. It means the man who is in a mere state of nature. It says, Paul said, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. When we were born not only in our flesh, but we were born with a connection to the spirit dimension. David said, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. You read that in the Amplified, it says, I was brought forth in a state of iniquity. My mother was sinful, who conceived me, and I too am sinful. Paul said, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death is passed upon all men, for all have sinned. He also made the statement, for as ye in times past have not believed God. When we were born with a connection to the spirit dimension. Wherein in times past, he said, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. And then he says this, the spirit. Everybody say the spirit. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. We're born with a connection to the spirit world. Among whom also we had all our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Born into the world, connected to the spirit dimension, the spirit, he says, that now worketh in the children of disobedience. But then he says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's what Jesus was talking about when he told Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. If a man, except a man be born of water and spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. For that which is born of flesh, Jesus said, is flesh. But that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. Unless a person is born again, born anew from above, he cannot ever see, he cannot ever know, he cannot ever be acquainted with, he cannot ever experience the kingdom of God. He's trapped outside. He's locked out. You've got to be born again. This will be a good time to mention repentance and water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. If you want to break that connection with this world, you want to break that connection with the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, there's only one way to do it. You must be born again. I'm glad that I've been born again. It isn't old today. I'm nearly 50 years old in the Holy Ghost. It's not old to me. It's fresh. It's alive. It's new. It's wonderful. It's glorious. I'm still thankful. I'm still happy about it. You have no hope outside of being born again. You gotta sever that connection with the spirit world of the devil and evil and sin and corruption. And there's only one way to do it. Repent. Repent. There's power in repentance. Repent. Drug habits are broken when you repent. Alcoholic habits are broken when you repent. You don't wait to down the road. There's power in repentance. He that is dead to sin will live no longer therein. There is power. If you are under the addiction of the world, I'm telling you, you can break that addiction in just a few moments. Still works. Still works. Just give me a few minutes here. There must be a time. There must be a time when the Spirit of God is allowed to transform us into a new creature. Hallelujah. It matters what spirit dimension we are connected to. I said it matters. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of his flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. That word soweth means where you're strengthened from. It means where you make provision for indulgences of appetites and passions. Wherever you are strengthened from and consequently make provision to indulge those appetites and passions. He that soweth to his flesh, his human nature, our human mind, which is the external. He that soweth to his flesh shall of his flesh reap corruption. You're going to reap decay. You're going to reap ruin. You're going to be destroyed. You're going to perish. God is not mocked. However you sow it, that's how it's going to turn out. It don't matter what you think. It don't matter the traditions of your family. If you want to break that habit, if you want to break the outcome of how you were born into this world, there's only one way to do it. You got to be born. I know this is simple, but I'm feeling it in my spirit. If you want to break those things, there are people in this room right now that you have stuff hanging on you that you can't break. You've got habits. You've got chains. You've got stuff hanging and you don't have the answer. I have the answer for you today. It may sound redundant, but I'm going to keep saying it. Repent
Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin. He'll wipe it all away. He'll change. Ooh, I feel the Holy Ghost. I hope you haven't been in the church so long that Acts 2:38 kind of got ho-hum to you and it's old fashioned. Somebody in this room needs to be born again. You want to honor Pastor Howard? When we close this service in a little while, run to this altar, repent of your sins, tell Pastor you want to get baptized in Jesus' name and get the Holy Ghost, that honor our pastor. He'll talk about that on the phone with his other preacher friends more than he'll talk about the check, more than he'll talk about the sculpture, more than he'll talk about the clock, more than he'll talk about the choir. He'll say, we had 3 get the Holy Ghost. We had 5 get... That's why we're here!
We just get caught up in the fleshly realm of the church and religion, and I just wanna this is where I'm heading. We just get caught up in all that we feel in the fleshly dimension, but we gotta start sowing more into the spirit dimension. That's where we're gonna get our energy. That's where we're gonna get our strength. I thank God for the way I'm feeling right now. I thank God for the anointing. But I'm after something deeper than just the way my flesh is gonna feel. I didn't get in the church just to get deliverance from my addictions. I got in the church because of Him. I got in the church because of who He is and what He's, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish. Just a couple more minutes, I promise. We must be careful not to sow to the flesh. Paul is issuing this warning under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. But he's not talking to sinners. He's talking to born again, Holy Ghost filled people of God. And he's saying, don't sow to the flesh. Don't get your energy. Don't get your energy and don't let the appetites and the things and the passions get a hold of you about your flesh. We're bodies that have been transformed. I was born with a body in sin. I was connected to the spirit world of the adversary. But through the new birth experience, that connection was severed. And I was connected to the spirit world. I was connected to God. I became a new creature. Things are a whole lot different now than they were then. But I'm afraid we get so caught up in the momentum of the flesh realm of being born again that we don't sow to the Spirit. I've come with a word for Tulsa. There is a revival. There is a supernatural move of the Holy Ghost. If we can move past of catering to our flesh, move past, get fulfilling the appetites of our flesh and move into the realm of the Spirit. He was writing to New Testament Christians. He was writing to born again Christians. Jesus said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Pursue the Spirit. Some of you just looking at me. Pursue the Spirit. I want to be careful because I'm not come to minimize anything that's going on. This is the greatest man that I've ever been acquainted with. I'll like Pastor Sewell, I'll fight you over him. I'm not here. There's not 1 ounce
of anything else. So don't read into what I'm going to say. But I'm telling you, if God can do this with us not really fully, everybody sow into the Spirit. But just coming to church happy of what He's sowing in the Spirit. Yes, I feel some of you backing off of me. Without a nucleus of new life sowing to the Spirit, and you come right on the wave. You come right on the tingles, and you come right on the excitement. What would happen if on this day that every young person, that every mom and every dad would say, it's not about me. It's not about how it makes me feel. I'm going to start sowing to the Spirit. Come on, it's all in there. You've heard enough word. We got to pray in the Spirit. We got to sow in the Spirit. We got to walk in the Spirit. Because if we'll do that, the things the devil's bringing our way is not going to trip us up, but it's going to create an atmosphere, and it's going to produce a revival among us. Do you hunger and thirst after righteousness? Do you hunger and thirst after righteousness? Or are you guilty like a lot of us have been guilty? I'm going to go to church because it feels good.
Well, hallelujah.
If the supernatural touch of God can do what it did in my life and your life in seconds. When we first knelt at an altar, or in my case, an old wooden folding chair. I bought me an old wooden folding chair the other day off eBay, because they don't make them no more. But I saw it on eBay. That was the kind of chair I run into the back prayer room. We were playing church, and I run back into the back prayer room because tears were coming down my cheek. And I knelt to that old wooden folding chair, and I poured my heart out, and in just seconds, God changed my life. But it don't have to end there. I put that wooden folding chair in my prayer closet, and I kneel at that over that nice prayer altar that they built for me, because I want to grasp it. I want more than just what is created in the fleshly dimension. I want to get into the Spirit. Sit down. We're through the Holy Ghost, we are connected with God in the spirit dimension. Know ye not. I know it's common scripture. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which is in you, which is in you, which you have of God. I got something living inside of me that created the heavens and the earth. The power to heal and cure and cast out devils. That's why He said it. Greater is He that is in you. Huh? Your body. Your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God. But here it is. But you're not your own. You're not your own. Quit coming and moving and working and being involved in the church just because you're doing it in the fleshly dimension. You come to prayer meeting because you know if pastors don't see your body here, he won't know where you're at. You're involved in the things you're involved in because you're limited to a fleshly dimension. But what if a hunger got inside of you? What if something craving in you that says, I don't care if pastor sees me or not. Tell you what kind of prayer meetings we'd have. We'd have more than just ho-hum, mum-drum, and a few here and there. But we'd have people groaning like they used to groan. We'd have people crying out and wailing. I'm going to sow in the Spirit. I want to get my strength from the Spirit. Some of you, you're dancing, shout. I'm not trying to criticize you, but I've been there too. Our dance and our shout is all about the music. How I feel. But what would happen if while you're singing the song, it would dawn on you the message of the song?
That's why you have this in preaching. That's why you have people connected. And you have others slacking off. You sow to the flesh. You're going to reap ruin. You're going to reap decay. You're going to be destroyed. You might likely backslide. But if you come in this building and you tap into the Holy Ghost, and your hallelujah is sown in the Spirit, your thank you, Jesus, is not about somebody next to you. I'm in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. I come to have a little church. I come to have a move of the Holy Ghost. I want to see somebody healed. I want to see a demonstration of the Spirit of God. You're bought with a price, he said. You're not your own. You're not your own. You're not your own. That ceased a long time ago. You're not your own. You're getting your strength from some other place now. Huh? Yeah, you walk into church in your body, but your strength is not in the flesh. That's why you can limp in and say, I'm just glad to be in church. That's why it don't matter how old you get and how less you can do. It's not about how much mechanically you can do. It's about this. It's about sowing in the Spirit. Oh my. That's why people get so demonstrative and it's weird in church. Weird demonstrations. Weird demonstrations. And spiritual saints sit there and say, man, that don't feel real good. Something's weird about that. Something's awkward about that. You know what that is? That's people that just learned to sow to the flesh. Just want to be seen of men. Sound familiar? And when you're in that kind of condition, all you do is clean the outside up. But the inside's dead. The inside's... You make the outside of the platter clean, but the inside's dead. But when you come alive in the Spirit and you start sowing to the Spirit. Uh-huh. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. Hypocrites, huh? You go by the offering plate, you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, but you've omitted the weightier matters of the law. These ought to you have done, and not to leave the other undone. He's not criticizing you coming and giving. But I'm telling you, it works a whole lot better if when you put that envelope in the offering plate, it's not to be seen of men. It's not a drudgery because you got to do it, because it's something the church expects you to do. But you sow it in the Spirit. You say, I'm giving this because it's an honor. It's a privilege. You see what comes back to you. You see what God will do for you. There's a lot of things in that scripture. He'll rebuke the devourer. He'll help you. He'll open the windows of heaven when you sow to the Spirit. I know it's a thin line. I'm trying to explain it. But when it doesn't matter when you give your tithe and offering, it does matter. What's going on in your mind? It does matter. What's going on in your heart? It does matter why you're doing it. He said, when you've done all you've been commanded to do, say, I am unprofitable. When do we get profitable? When you do something you're not asked to do, because you're in the Spirit, because you want to do it. When he says, take it a mile, you take it a mile, but you pick it back up and say, now I've done it to fulfill my obligation, but watch this. You come to the church and pray when you're not asked to. You fast when you're not asked to. You sow. I I gotta close. I'm just about on my introduction, but I'm gonna wrap it up because I'm hungry as you are. Pastor, I'm being very careful. I don't want to be misunderstood. Jesus Christ. Everybody say Jesus Christ. We know who Jesus. We know who Jesus is. And we know who Jesus was. He's God manifest in the flesh. In the flesh. In the flesh. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. You know the scripture, the Word came flesh. We know who Jesus is. I'm not trying to minimize Him. I'm just trying to show you something that I feel God laid on my heart for the church. Jesus, in His, when you get attracted and you fall in love with the flesh and you don't fall in love with the spirit dimension, you are going to fall flat on your face. You can love the worship and never worship in spirit and in truth. Why am I keep saying that? You can. Isn't it amazing how easy it is to just worship and not be connected spiritually, but it's tough to pray. You can't just walk in and pray. You can't just walk. Your flesh don't want to do that. You just can't do that. But boy, we just get happy just thinking about something. You know why? Because we're catering to our flesh and our mind. We think of the goodness of Jesus. Here's just a thought. Everything that has breath, praise you the Lord. Just easy to do. Get a beat going. Let's have a song. We can all do it. The sinners can do it. The backsliders can even do it. But they can't get on their face and pray because that's the work of the Spirit. I tell you what, some of your problem, you come in prayer meeting, 2 minutes later you're leaving to go get a hamburger. That tells it all. Sow to the Spirit. Fall in love with Jesus. Jesus was God in the flesh. But it is possible to love Jesus and not have a passion for and love the Spirit. Sit down. Pastor's even going to pull my coattail. I'm going to get this off of me. It was established in the beginning. Hear, O Israel. The Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. The command of loving God was to love God who is spirit. One day a lawyer asked Jesus, tempting him, saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said, love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and the great command. He's always pointing to the spirit dimension. Because when you start loving the flesh, you start loving your renewed, filled flesh, and you love that dimension, you'll forsake and neglect, oh yeah, the spirit dimension. No one would ever backslide if they sold to the Spirit. But you'll come to a church like this and listen to a powerful man like that and get cold and lukewarm. That don't add up. You know why? He's preaching in the Spirit. He's giving you a word from God. It just ain't to your liking. It ain't what you expected to hear because you're so into the flesh. Now, he get on something you like and they rally. You ever see that happen? You go from a dead church and no preacher preaching, nothing happening. He mentions something that everybody likes and they're all on their feet instantly like that. Can't tell me that's a work of the Spirit. That's just people I'm thankful for holiness. All right. I'm thankful for holiness. Top of the head, soul, feet. Believe it. Never going to change. You've heard us sing. We're not interested in change. But it's a shame that we quote Acts 2:38 and get half the response that we get when we get on some holiness issue that ain't even in the book. You heard Pastor the other day, it'll be in the book if we're going to put a foundation down. I believe that. It's got to be in the book. The principle's got to be there. But we get preferences, and you'll see places come alive when somebody hollers and screams a preference. But you preach one God, or you preach Acts 2:38, and everybody... He said it right. It's a spirit of holiness. We wouldn't have holiness issues if we'd get so into the spirit. If your desire is, I want to be holy. If your desire is, I want to please God. But sadly, you want to please man. You want to please the flesh dimension. You want to make sure Pastor Howard is happy with the way you're living. My God. That creates hypocrites. See, don't go home with you. You do what you want to do at home. You don't go to the job with you. You do what you want to do on the job. But you show me somebody wants a soul to the Spirit. Pastor, you can come on my job anytime and see me. You're welcome. Show up. I don't care. I'm doing this for God. I'm going to say it. I'm not trying to throw any negative. And you heard me say the same thing. I fight for you. But I've been smitten in my heart because I want to fall in love with the spirit dimension of this man. You know, y'all rest up, just act like it ain't never happened. I've always thought, man, if I could preach like him, if I could just stand like him and posture like him, I'd be something. God, that's not where it's at. It's in the walk. It's in the spirit dimension. So the last 2 weeks while this has been on me, I've been telling God, I'm no longer interested in the flesh. I don't care what y'all think about me. I don't care what anybody thinks. I want to get the spirit of this man. I want the dimension he walks in. Come on, young men. You can't put a tie on and look like him. You can't dress like him. But you sure can get in a dimension of the Holy Ghost and the Spirit. Pastor Howard needs people to get in the spirit dimension and start sowing. This building will not hold in a month's time what God wants to do if we learn to sow in the spirit. Well, I felt the devil on that. I'm going to say it again. In a month's time, you'll be having to split your services up. Because God has got a revival. He has not seen it all. He is not finished. He's not done. I am. I'm going to close. But I'm going to just kind of work through this. Maybe see. I see Peter struggling. Because he fell in love with Jesus. Sowing plenty to the flesh, but not to the spirit. There's glimpses, times, when he really taps into something. Jesus said, whom do men say that I am? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. What did Jesus say? He said, flesh and blood hadn't revealed this to you. You ain't been sowing in the flesh. My God, you've tapped into something, Peter. Flesh and blood hadn't revealed, but my Father. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church. When you get in the spirit dimension, that's the kind of church God... Oh, is there hunger in somebody? Is there a hunger in somebody? The devil's told you you're just nobody. You're just average. You're just a normal saint. I've come with a challenge and I've come with a charge. You're not just normal and you're not just average. From the child to the youngest child that's got the Holy Ghost to the eldest saint of God. Something can happen today in the spirit dimension. Thou art Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church. Gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Shall not prevail against it. Victory, victory, victory. Revival, revival, revival. Woo, I feel it. Anybody feeling what I'm feeling up here? Revival, revival, revival. Baptist.
baptism, baptism, baptism. Holy Ghost poured. Holy Ghost outpoured. Holy Ghost outpoured. Building project, building project. Can't build them fast enough. Can't build them big enough. There's a hunger in our world. There's an awakening in our world. Sit down just one or two more times. We'll just kind of lighten. It's kind of nice exercise, isn't it? I'm not here to get in any kind of debate with any of you in the Sanhedrin. It's just me. I'm still striving. I'm not arrived. I'm not attained. I'm still reaching. I'm still pressing. Don't excommunicate me, please. But Pastor Howard, you go to Branson or go to Lancaster. And you walk into Sight and Sound. That's putting on a Bible program. I'm not saying they're right. Get off of that. I'm just saying they're presenting a message about the Bible. Jesus is in Branson right now. Thank God he's omnipresent. But you go to any one of those that are showing the Bible story and the building's packed twice a day. Twice a day. Don't tell me there's not a hunger in people. Don't tell me there's not people reaching and say there's got to be more. There's got to be something. Come on. I stay around when they give the altar call. Nobody's going down front anymore because it don't work. They're looking for what we got. We got to quit sowing to the flesh. On this rock I'll build my church. Gates of hell should not prevail. In the next verse, he starts talking to him, saying, I'm going to Jerusalem. It's going to be bad. I'm going to die. And Peter grabs Jesus and pulls him away from everybody and says, oh no, you're not. The Bible says he rebukes him. I mean, just got the keys to the kingdom. Y'all think I'm going to give an altar call? You ain't going to intimidate me. I'm just going to say a couple things. And I'm really, we're going to go eat hamburgers, hot dogs, tacos. That's what El Pastor tacos. Immediately, he's got the keys of the kingdom. He's jingling. Man, we're going to have revival. It's going to be. And then all of a sudden, because he's in love with Jesus more than he is in the spirit dimension. And he's, how bold people get. How bold people get when they want to cater to their flesh. Man, y'all doing great. You're tapped in, most of you. Some of you ain't tapped in. You're already down to whatever or wherever. But there's a move of the Holy Ghost in this room. Be it far from you. He just told him you got the keys of the kingdom. You're in the spirit. Now he's saying, get behind me, Satan. You just want what's best for your flesh. You're attached to me more than you are to the mission and what God wants to do. This is bigger than a man, Jesus could have said. I know you're looking there and saying, oh, that's Jesus Christ. He was man, right? He was flesh, right? He was tempted, right? I'm not trying to minimize anything about Jesus Christ. I'm just trying to tell you what I feel. God has shown me to give to this church. There's more to it than just loving the flesh dimension. Pastor Howard is not that shallow. He is not that weak. There's a deeper dimension to him that somebody needs to say, God. To be carnally minded is death. Again, he's writing that to Holy Ghost filled people. I looked at the word carnal. It says minding of the flesh. The human nature. So let me close with this.
He said, you savor not the things that be of God, but you savor those that be of man. Man, my life's been like that before. You get revelation. And then something goes haywire. Jesus tells 9 disciples, stay here. Peter, James, and John's going up with me to the mountain. They traverse 9,400 feet above sea level. Shaggy foothills gave no hint of the awesome events that would happen in just a short time. They crested the peak of the mountain. They stand at 9,400 feet amidst the snow. The location had been sacred to the terrible Baal cults of ancient times, but now it's going to become sacred to the followers of Jesus. He's transfigured before them. Moses and Elijah stepped forth out of eternity and from the grave. Like I said, Moses has been dead 1,700 years. He's already decayed. He's dust. But the power of God and what it can do. That same guy that was so in love with Jesus. See what he did? Lord, it's good for us to be here. We'll build some tabernacles up here. Let's clear some spot up here. We'll put one over here for Elijah and one for Moses, and you can have one over here. It just don't work out right. When all we get out of the church and all we get out of this is what it does for us in this dimension. It's too broad. It's too deep. Prayer life would change. Worship would change. Living daily would change. If we just learn. I'm so into the Spirit. Hardships wouldn't be unbearable. You just catch glimpses throughout Scripture. Jesus talks about enmity and people hating you and want to kill you and stone you. That kind of stuff don't move you like it does people that are fleshly minded, minding the flesh. Make sure I feel good, look good, act good. But when you get in the Spirit, it takes on a whole different realm. Being born again, not a corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. Elijah walks through the field. Elisha's plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. One translation says he crosses over the field to him. He does something that signifies a transfer. He takes his mantle off and he throws it on the back of Elisha. I got to believe that it was more than just the warmth of a mantle. It was more than just the shade. There was something to that. Something happened to Elijah. Saying, he parked the mule, he parked the oxen and said, hey, wait a minute. Let me go tell mom and dad goodbye. And I'm coming after you. It was so powerful that he was willing to do it right there. He's willing to kill the oxen, make a sacrifice. It had such an impact that you find Elijah walking and he says to him, I got the Lord send me over here to Gilgal. I want you to stay here. Oh no. Wherever you're at, I'm going to be. Well, I need to go here. I need to go here to Bethel. No. I need to go. No. What is it you want? I want it. I want a double portion of your Spirit.
Yes.
I love you. But I want to tap into something that I've missed for many years. I'm sorry. I feel like I've wasted a whole lot of time.
the last 2 weeks. Something's happened. If you see me, you have it. I want you to go and look at that scripture text. It says that while they were talking, traveling, the chariot comes down, carries him out, and mantle falls. Elisha saw it and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw no more. He saw Elijah no more. He took of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. And he took up the mantle. He took up the mantle of Elijah that fell from him. And he went back and he stood on the bank of the Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him. I read that in the commentary because there's a scripture down. It says also, the word also. We say he walks up to the water and he just smites. But the commentary said that he walked up to the water with that mantle and didn't say nothing, just smote the water. And nothing happened. Nothing happened. And then we read our text. It says, he walks back to the water and he smote the waters and says, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had smitten the waters also, it signifies he done it twice. The first time, nothing happens. Just the flesh dimension and nothing gonna happen. But he grabs that mantle and he walks back over and says, where is the Lord God of Elijah? You told me I could have this. I want it. He's gone. My, what a change when he's gone. Pastor, I'm praying. I don't even want to think about the thought of you being gone.
No way.
But if the Lord tarries and you're gone, I'll live this and I'll preach it.
Yes, sir.
To my dying day.
Yes, sir.
Because I got more than just a suit you gave me. I got something that you and I can share. And we're going to see it, Brookhaven.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It's going to see it. My God, we're experiencing things in the Spirit. We're going to see it, man. We can do it.
Yes, sir.
I'm not trying to diminish from Him.
No,
y'all understand what I'm saying?
We're with
Him. But I want to sow in the Spirit. I want my prayer life to change. I want my witnessing to change. I can't preach like him. I'm going to quit trying. I just want the anointing. I just want to see God work. I'm done, but I have come, I feel, with a charge in the Holy Ghost. It's time for this local assembly. Y'all understand what I'm preaching today?
Yes, sir.
It's time for each of you to pick up the mantle, but not rely on the mantle. But we're going to dig in and get a relationship with God like we have never had. And we're going to start sowing in the Spirit. My God, have mercy. Something's going to change even in the chemistry, the spiritual chemistry of this church. It's moving through this house right now. I'm going to open this altar first to sinners or backsliders. It ain't too late for you to be a part of this. You want to honor my pastor? You want to live for God? Quit worrying about what other people think about you. Quit worrying about how's it going to work out. You need to get out of your pew right now. There is never a better time or atmosphere for you to walk down to this pew than to have people of God help pray you through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. If you're sensing, if you're feeling what I've tried to preach to you today, and you're going to say, Pastor, you can count on me. You can count on me. I'm not doing it for looks. I'm not doing it for show. I'm not doing it for any other reason. Not in this fleshly dimension. I'm going to start sowing in the Spirit so I can reap life everlasting. This altar is open to you. The Holy Ghost
is breathing in this place. Come on, it's time for you. It's time for you to be able to tap into it. To be able to entertain it. That's it. That's it. Something's going to happen in this church. Something wonderful, glorious, supernatural is going to happen in this place.
Hang me in your image, Lord, and wash me white as snow.
Let that prayer be in the
Purify
spirit.
Purify this heart of mine. Oh, Lord, I'm giving you control.
You don't sow in His spirit, you'll never tap into it. That's it.
One that's worthy to
come on, young men.
Take me in your image.